really all about that offensive line. You know, obviously, we saw that they were at a disadvantage. Mitchell Schwartz has the back surgery, loss of the year, and then Fisher hurts the leg, and that's it. You're playing backup tackles against a team that get after the passer. Tampa Bay was able to not only rush with four, but beat you with four, and that was, you know, we saw Mahomes run around like crazy. Just their whole offense got completely derailed by that. You know, they spent money. They spent draft capital in a trade for Orlando Brown. You know, they signed Joe Tooney to big dollars. They're bringing back Kyle Long, and who knows where he's going to play. There's some buzz about maybe playing tackle. There's some buzz about, you know, kicking inside. They definitely were aggressive trying to upgrade that position. It's just, how does it come together? You know, like, I mean, I like Joe Tooney. I watched him for 4 years, 5 years. Terrific, terrific football player. I don't know that he's worth $55 million guaranteed, but he's a really good football player, and you know, they just have to make the rest of those pieces work. But they're still the gold standard to me. But I believe that Buffalo closed the gap on them. Yeah, maybe bigger than the gap was in the AFC East, but I think they closed it a little bit.
That is Mike Giardi from NFL Network, who's on with us recently. He covers the AFC East for NFL Network, or specializes on the AFC East for NFL Network. Hey, happy Wednesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. 803-0550 to join us as we talk schedule release today. And guess what? Tomorrow morning, we talk about the actual schedule. That's another thing the NFL does well. Hey, it gets two full days out of the schedule release. Maybe even the full week. So
it's
what,
amazing.
Right?
It's a machine. They're just incredible.
When the schedule comes out, Bills fans, what are the first few things you will be looking for? You can let us know. And I also put up a web poll at WGR550.com. Do you hope the Bills get the max primetime games, five night games? Assuming it's still that rule and not they haven't switched to the new rule. That's at our website, and let's continue talking about the schedule. Sal's hanging out, filling in for Jeremy, who's off this week. So I want to bring up a little bit more about the schedule based on some of the conversations you have, or the conversation you have with Mike North. Mike is the Vice President of Broadcast Planning, and he was on the Sal Sports podcast a few weeks ago and covered a number of different topics. One of the things I wanted to bring up in this segment with you is, what is your ideal opener? So, Mike North, you talked with him about some possibilities for week one.
As you think about what to do with the Bills in week one, you could send them to Tampa on kickoff. You could put them on Sunday Night Football against a Kansas City or a New England. You could put them in the Sunday afternoon time slot on CBS against a Pittsburgh or, you know, an Indianapolis or New England there. You can cross-flex them, slide them over to Fox and let Fox have a bite of the Bills' apple and have them play one of those, maybe that NFC East game, like we said, that Washington-Buffalo game. Never more interesting than it is in week one. And certainly, like we said, you could slide them over to Monday night. There's a ton of games that you could put in the schedule for Monday Night Football that fans would look at and think over the next 6 months when that schedule comes out in a couple of weeks, hey, that's what I'm looking forward to in week one.
What's your ideal opener for the Bills?
You asking me?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm the other guy hosting here with you. So
yeah, I don't want you to predict what you think the league will do. I'm saying you personally, what would you say is the ideal opener for you?
I think New England. Here in Buffalo, I would love to see Patriots, what they look like. I think that if for some reason Mac Jones wins that job over Cam Newton, him starting his first NFL game in Buffalo, that would be wild and crazy. The Bills fans would be, it would be either way, but I think that would be competitively. I think the Bills match up, you know, like, okay, let's get off to a good start. Let's put some distance already between the Bills and Patriots. And you know what? Through this whole time when was the last time the Bills opened with the Patriots? It was the Dante Whitner's rookie year in New England when they opened up with the very first play of the game. The Bills returned for a fumble sack for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It was London Fletcher, I think, either returned it or with the sack. But I don't know if they've ever opened up here in Buffalo. And if they have, it's been a long, long time. Maybe they're going back to the 70s. So I think that would be, to me, you talk about a deal, give me Sunday afternoon Patriots coming to Orchard Park. That would be like an ideal opener for me.
31-0 was week one, right? 03?
There you go. I'm sorry. You're 03? Right. Yes, week one.
That's a long time ago. You know,
it was a long, but you're right. And my brain forgot about that, and I don't know how I did, but you're right. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've opened with other division games. They haven't opened with the Patriots.
I thought about New England this morning when I knew this was going to be one of the things to bring up from this standpoint. I mean, obviously it's attractive. It's a division game. It's, you know, I do believe it's going to be a really tight race this year. So that's a real good matchup if you had it in opening week. Thought about that as a primetime game in week one. And I thought about it from this standpoint, too. I think the Patriots will be improved, Sal. I think for as much fun as we make of them and as much fun as we make of how much people genuflect about the Patriots and go overboard with the Patriot way, they brought in some really good pieces this offseason. They knew their offense was terrible last year. And how does it all mesh? It remains to be seen. Of course, you touched on the actual biggest question. Who's the quarterback? They have better tight ends. They have better wide receivers. But if you're not getting good enough quarterback play, to an extent, it won't matter. And I thought, all right, if you're going to play New England, I think they'll be better. Maybe get them early with all the new working parts still trying to get together. Maybe it's good to get it out of the way. And then I defaulted to my fear factor. And that is typically I will go with, I want to need as close to a guaranteed win, home game, fun day, Bills fans have a great time, it's a party atmosphere. So I defaulted to the Jets. I think... All right, it's a division matchup. This is not, I don't think this is a primetime game. But I thought Jets, division game, beat them right away. Eh, we get to see how Zach Wilson looks in his first game, so forth and so on. So I'm going to go, it's kind of boring because they've played the Jets three times in the last 4 years. But I'm going to go Jets at home in week one, a nice little Sunday 1 o'clock game to ease myself into a schedule that'll have a lot of night games.
So, as several are pointing out, and I apologize, I had reversed the Panthers and Patriots in EJ's rookie year in my head. I had that Panthers comeback in my head as week one.
Two.
That was week two. Yeah. Week one was New England. New England came here week one in 2013. Denoris Searcy had a fumble return for a touchdown that closed the gap. The Bills were actually leading that game. They wound up losing a couple field goals at the end, if I remember correctly, from the Patriots. And then week two was EJ against the Panthers. So thank you very much. Sorry about that. Alan, who tweeted me, not our boss, Alan, but Alan, Mike, Sean, all the people who tweeted me and said, come on. That was twice. So I'm so stuck in 2021 schedule release that my brain is not thinking correctly on past games, and you guys got me. No, that's right. And I had that game reversed with week two, which was EJ against Carolina in that comeback game.
You know what game I actually thought about, and I don't know how much stock the league puts into whether it's against a conference rival or you go out to the other conference in week one. I'm not sure how much they care about that stuff. I actually thought about, I think the Atlanta game should be a really entertaining game. I mean, I love the draft pick of Kyle Pitts. I think, you know, Atlanta's had a productive offense. We know the Bills should have one of the higher scoring offenses we anticipate in the league this season. Atlanta's done that as well. They just don't really stop teams very much. And I thought about Matt Ryan and Kyle Pitts and if Julio Jones is still there and all the weapons they have and how that could be a really good shootout game. Again, it's not an AFC game. It's a crossover. But in terms of just entertaining football, week one, I thought Atlanta. But then again, like I said, when I defaulted to I want to make sure you win, Atlanta could be a little – Atlanta's a tougher game to me than the Jets are. I think for sure they're going to sweep the Jets this season. So I considered that in my list of things. The only – I know Mike North said something about Washington to you. To me, it's okay, you know, fits against the Bills here in week one, but I just didn't think that was a – it didn't feel like a strong enough week one game from my standpoint for the Bills.
It did seem where he ratings-wise. Mentioned – what did he say? In that clip you just played, he said, that game is never more interesting than week one. And I'm like, why did he say that? Like, that's I kept thinking maybe Washington could be the week one opponent. I still think it could be, but there was just a lot of stuff last night, people talking about Pittsburgh. And even had someone tweet at me and say that like they had someone in the Steelers organization who told them or report. So who knows? I don't know. You never know. People definitely could know people and that could definitely be true. I don't know. But it just seemed like last night it was trending towards people believing it could be the Steelers in an afternoon game here in Buffalo.
We're talking about the schedule release. Want to hear from you. 803-0550. What's your ideal opener for the Bills? And what are the first few things you're going to look at when the schedule comes out tonight? I mentioned earlier, for me, it's the number of night games. The Bills are now a prime time weapon for the National Football League, a commodity. They're one of the teams that networks want on their prime time schedule. More from Mike North, the Vice President of Broadcast Planning, from his interview with Sal, and this time talking about prime time games.
Now, when fans watch them a little bit more, now the networks come back to us, the scheduling team, the following year and say, hey, listen, I know we didn't ask for a whole lot of Bills games last year, but if you could find it in your heart to slide a couple of Bills games to us over here on Monday night or in the Saturday pool or on Sunday night football, you know, we're interested. They're good. They rate. Fans care. We'd like them in national television windows. That fits really well with our narrative of rewarding the teams that have had some success and, like we said, have played their way into these national television windows.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit. Actually, you know what? Let me follow up. There's another comment I want to get to. Sorry, I'm actually sending a message to Brayton. There's another comment I want to get to. What do you mean, no? You have to do this. I'm telling you, Brayton. I'm giving you direction. He's shaking his head. No. What kind of a producer? What are you? Are you a pitcher shaking off the catcher who's flashing the signs? I want to throw the fastball. All right. So
no, I'm throwing the knuckleball.
No. Anyway. So the prime time, just to follow up, and we'll match these two together. When the Bills have been on primetime in the past, it's usually been the one obligatory appearance, and they're on there as the opponent. Now they are the feature on primetime. More from Mike North talking about that with the Bills.
It would be impossible for us not to look at some of the bigger Bills games this year and think to ourselves, those are absolutely slam dunk, home run national television games. What ends up happening is a team like Seattle a few years ago or a team like Buffalo right now, they sort of transition from being the opponent in the big TV game to becoming the anchor. And so instead of, oh, remember that Monday night game when you played Dallas and we had the 50-yard field goal at the end, you know, that was a Dallas game on national television. And that was how the Bills got on. Now, the Bills are going to be the anchor for Monday Night Football, and they're going to be pulling along somebody else who might be not quite there yet in terms of national brand awareness and, you know, heading for another playoff berth. You kind of switch from being the opponent to the anchor. That's where I think we are now in the Bills transition.
It's going to be, it's kind of weird, right? Like Mike talked to you about Bills fans living in this new world, and that includes when the schedule comes out, you're going to have a lot of night games. Like Kansas City last year had the Max. I guess I would assume Tampa had the Max because of Brady going down there. And now that's the world we're going to. By the way, knock on wood, hopefully for a long time, because the Bills, it means the Bills are really good for an extended amount of time with Josh Allen, with how good this team is, with and not only that, Sal, but you know, this high powered passing attack and touchdowns. I mean, that's great for ratings as well. This schedule marks the official shift into the other world known as you're the team that people want to see at night a lot.
Yeah, and after he talked about that, I'm sure you heard, I asked him, did he watch 80s wrestling? And I brought up SD Special Delivery Jones. That was like a guy who, like, he'd be the guy, he'd be the tomato can, essentially, right? He'd go into the ring, and then he'd be, like, against Andre the Giant or Hulk Hogan or whoever. But, you know, SD Jones was, like, everybody liked SD Jones, but he was always the patsy. He'd always lose.
Yeah.
And then you'd have, but because there'd have to be somebody on the card that he'd have to go against that people want to see. And the Bills have kind of always been the SD Jones of the NFL for any primetime games, is what he's saying. Now, somebody else is the SD Jones, and they're the King Kong Bundy or Andre the Giant or Hulk Hogan.
I wonder, with, you know, we were talking earlier about the night games, and you had talked about, you know, maybe four, and I think everybody would have Bills Kansas City in a night game. Basically, he said to you, it's not a 1 o'clock game. We know that. So the only question is whether it would be in that 4:25 national window. And I think it's better suited. I think most people would say it is a primetime matchup. Having said that, Sal, do you have a preference, or maybe even where you think that Bills Kansas City game will fall? Because that's part of the discussion too, right? When they put their schedules together, do you want it early in the season? What about, you know, what about later in the season? Not too late, because what if they've clinched spots or seeds? Weather, right? Mike North even brought up weather with you. Do you want a game played in the North or in the Midwest later in the year, where possibly weather becomes a problem for that game? I think it's interesting to see. That's going to be a night game, but where do they put it? I thought that would have been a prime Sunday Night Football Week 1 matchup, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be there.
That's right, but I think it goes back to, too, something that we discussed, which is there's a floor for those games anyway. You don't need huge matchups. You're going to get eyeballs to the first weekend primetime matchups, especially Thursday night and Sunday night. That's why I've always thought, man, do you really need Dallas and at Tampa? But Peter King made a good point, which is the league also wants to hit the ground running and say, look, we're back. Let's showcase it. This is going to be a great season. We don't want a blowout. We don't want a boring game. So that made sense, and that's why it made sense it could be Buffalo. It appears it's not going to be the case. So, yeah, I always thought the same thing, Howard, about Bills, Kansas City would be a really good opener for Sunday night, but the league probably figures, why waste that? Like, yeah. That's a good matchup wherever we put it. Right. We don't need to put a incredible game on that everybody has to tune in for that week one Sunday night matchup. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can go about looking at that and thinking about it. And let's remember this year, there is only one Monday Night Football game on week one.
No doubleheader, huh?
There is no doubleheader. The league is going to, weirdly, have a Monday Night Wild Card playoff game this year instead, which I still find kind of odd. But they're going to do that. The team that plays on that Monday Night game in the Wild Card weekend is going to then play a Sunday the following week when they win, so that they're not on a really short week in the playoffs. But that's the model the league is going to now.
Hey, one thing to, everybody knows there's a 17th game this year, but you had mentioned you wanted to go through some issues or some stuff on the rotation. You're getting questions about that 17th game?
Yeah, we're looking ahead to, future schedules and things like that. And you can always, as we said earlier, you can always predict 13, you can always know 13 games years in advance. 13 games are determined by a rotation that years in advance. And even for next year, like we already know, next year the Bills will play the entire AFC North. They will play the entire NFC North. Not a lot of sexy trips there, right? I mean, you're talking about Baltimore. They're going to Baltimore, Chicago, Cincy, Detroit. But there's always been two games, one home and one away, determined by where you finish. Next year, it's AFC South at home, same place finisher, AFC West away, so it could be Kansas City. The 17th game is the same thing. What they've done with the 17th game is, every year it's going to be AFC against NFC, and it's going to be a rotation of divisions matching each other on wherever you finished in that place in your division. They started out this year with AFC East against NFC East. And what they're doing is, it's the division you played 2 years prior. So remember, the Bills played the NFC East in 2019. They played Washington, the Giants, Dallas on Thanksgiving, obviously, and the Eagles. So 2 years is 2021. So it's 2 years from when you've played that division. It rotates. AFC is home, then NFC is home. So projecting out, we know now, Howard, this is how it's going to work. Next year, and again in 2026, the Bills will go to the same place NFC West finisher. That means you actually will have a West Coast game next year, because all the teams in the NFC West, I mean Arizona if you want to count them, they're out there. So the Bills will have one of those games next year. And then in 2023, it's going to be at home against the South. In 2024, it's going to be at the NFC North. In 2025, the East comes here again, which is possible. It could be Washington again, by the way. They're not flip-flopping that. It will be East of NFC against East at AFC. So that's how the rotation's going to work. People have asked me, like, are they going to flip it? Are they going to go always, rotation, AFC, NFC? Yes, they are. And we know exactly how they're going to do it. So next year, the Bills will play at whoever finishes in the same spot as them this year in the NFC West as their extra game.
Hey, quick note on the schedule before we go to break here. Chad Forbes has tweeted out, so the Fox has already announced their week one matchup in the 425 window is Saints-Packers. Now, Chad Forbes, I know you mentioned the Broncos-Giants game in week one, so somebody had said that's a week one matchup. Chad's tweeting out something about how that could be in the 4 o'clock window as well, and Fox is hedging their bets, right? So if somehow Rodgers gets traded, the thinking is he might go to Denver. So if Fox loses Rodgers in Green Bay, they just make the Broncos-Giants game is now that national. Either way, they'd have a good national when they're hedging their bet against the Packers.
I'm glad you brought this up, because when I saw both reports, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Fox having two 425 games.
Yeah,
I looked.
They don't do that
last year. They did as well.
Oh,
they did. They do that. They do have two games. One of them just goes to most of the country, if not all of it, and the other one just to those local markets.
That's pretty funny, though, huh? If indeed they're looking at it going, where's Rodgers going to be? If he's not in Green Bay, what do we do? Well, he might go to Denver. Let's put the Broncos in the national window. That's hilarious. The things they have to go through, right, for this to make this schedule right. Come out in one piece. We are taking your calls on schedule release, 803-0550. What are the first few things you're going to be looking for tonight when the Bills schedule is out? We'll talk more Sabres when we get back. The GM will be chatting with the media today. That should be interesting. Paul's on the way in a moment. WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
How would you sound giddy this morning? Is Tebow, is he the key player?
Oh, shut up, Hamilton. You know,
up the Mets to the promised land?
He's excited, Paul, because in case you didn't hear, he rode the Long Island Railroad for an hour via YouTube.
I knew I shouldn't have mentioned that to you, White. It's unbelievable. I'm
no,
telling
it's
you.
It's totally fine.
It's incredibly dorky. I mean,
he
I cannot.
Did what?
Don't ask, Paul. It's really not worth repeating. It's not something I'm proud of. I'm a nerd. I'm a dork.
I mean, that's being home for you.
Because I love trains. I always wanted to be a train engineer.
No wonder you couldn't sleep. I mean, with that kind of riveting entertainment, how can you go to bed and go to sleep?
You know, I'm just going to leave. I mean, why do I put up with this stuff?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I actually have no choice. Management told me we have to get Paul on. He is brought to you by... Equitable Advisors, planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Mr. Hamilton. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
So what do you think, Paul? You got an ideal opener? You got a thought on the Bills schedule? I know you're knee-deep in Sabres stuff, but you got a thought on the Bills schedule that's coming out tonight?
I would have loved the Tampa opener, but obviously that's not happening. So, but that would have been fun.
Yeah. No, it doesn't look like it's happening. Again, all this stuff is... unconfirmed at this point. So, you know, the GM is going to chat today, Mr. Hamilton. You'll be on for that Zoom call at 11:30. How deep will he get into the Jack Eichel stuff, do you think? I know he'll be asked about the injury. He'll be asked about the disconnect. He'll be asked about whether Eichel's going to be traded. I mean, a whole bunch of things. How willing do you think he will be with answers?
Well, I'll tell you what. He's been impressive anytime he has spoken to the media. You know, I think he's been up for it. I think he's handled everything that has been thrown his way and handled it very well. So, you know, this is his biggest challenge so far, but he's had a couple of days to prepare for it. And, you know, how much does he want to defend himself, you know, as to – or – is he just, you know that, hey, you know, I need to say the right things here. And, you know, burying Jack Eichel, you know, probably is not a good idea for
right.
him.
Right.
You know, no matter how he feels about it. But he also has the Pegulas in his ear. And I'm sure the Pegulas are absolutely furious right now because they've been made to look bad here. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he handles all this. And he knows very well what questions are coming. He's had a couple of days to prepare for them and how he wants to answer them. And, you know, we'll move from there.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, with the injury stuff, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet is reporting in his 31 Thoughts yesterday that it appears the issue is an artificial disc replacement that again, according to what Elliot Friedman is saying, that Eichel wants to have, that's the surgical procedure. This hasn't been done very often. You know, who knows about whether it'll be successful, the risk factor, all that. And as you know, Paul, teams typically aren't forthcoming with injury information, and there's HIPAA. So that's why I'm wondering, does he use the Zoom call? I mean, Eichel used the Zoom call to get basically out there and say, yeah, guys, I want surgery, and I can't control my own body. It's up to the Sabres. Does the GM use the Zoom call to defend their medical approach at this point?
And if what Friedman says is true, I understand where the Sabres are coming from. Yeah. I get it. You know, it's a procedure that's been done very few times, and there is no long-term data on it. Yes, there have been a couple of athletes that have had it done, but the data of how does it go, are there any long-term effects, does it work, is short-term data right now. You don't know, all right, what's going to happen 3 or 4 years down the road or things like that. So it's a very new thing. And, you know, from that standpoint, you know, the Sabres doctors might be, hey, you know, this isn't a procedure that we can be down with, because it's not something that's really been done done much, and we don't know that much about it. So I can understand where they're coming from with that.
It's been an interesting couple days, Paul, in terms of the contrast of the Zoom calls. On Monday, you had the big story about Eichel. You had, you know, you talked about it. You know, Reinhart didn't seem particularly enthused to talk about the team, and who knows what his future is.
No, he never is.
Okay,
that
fair
really
enough.
Wasn't anything
that was
too
just,
different.
That's just Sam Reinhart.
Yeah, that wasn't anything too different from any other Zoom call I've ever been on with.
I mean, Ristolainen is sitting there going, yeah, I don't care, whatever. Trade me, keep me, whatever. It doesn't matter. And then yesterday it was the young guys who are still, I don't know, how very much gung-ho about being here and eyes wide open and all excited. What did those, it was Dahlin, Mittelstadt, Olofsson, Cousins, and Thompson. What did those guys have to say when the topic of, hey, Eichel, Reinhart, Risto, some of the key guys might not be here next season?
I have to believe they were probably coached. None of them wanted to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So not much, almost nothing. You know, Cousins was asked, you know, and I asked Casey Mittelstadt, if those guys aren't around, are you ready to be more of a leader? Because now this is your team, you know. So, you know, he did talk about, you know, his qualities he might have as a leader and if he'd want to do that or if he's kind of quiet when it comes to that. Dylan Cousins, again, was totally, totally impressive, as he usually is. I mean, he wasn't even asked about being a leader, and he's ready to go. I mean, he goes, I want to be a leader on this team, you know, when the time is right. He said he's, you know, he understands at his age now he's not considered a leader, and he wants to change that. He wants to be the guy that players can come to and talk to. And that type of thing. And, you know, he's upset with the way he performed, especially near the end of the year. He goes, I need to be better than what I was. He goes, it was fine. It was a good first year, and there were some good things. But, you know, he's talking about how he wants to be a goal scorer in the National Hockey League, and he feels he can be a guy that can score goals in the National Hockey League. And that'll be his focus in the off season. What does he need to do as far as training and that type of stuff to be a guy who can do that? And, you know, he wants to be a leader on the team. He wants to lead. And, you know, he was just gung-ho about all that kind of stuff and just thoroughly impressive. Like, you know, I've been impressed with him all season long.
Yeah, by the way, that whole when will that time come to be a leader, it could be next season.
Yeah, and if it is, I know we've had this conversation before. It's very, very rare that players that age are ready to be captains.
Yeah. You know,
Taves was ready, Yzerman was ready, Sidney Crosby was ready. Most aren't. And I think if Jack Eichel is not around next year, he is ready. I would slap the C on him right away.
Wow.
If you just insist that he's not ready, then nobody would be captain next year. I'll put it off a year.
Yeah.
We'll go with the three or four guys wearing an A and then name him captain the next year. But
sorry, I didn't know you were done.
Yeah,
I was going to say about yesterday's interviews, there's one thing came out because what you're talking about is yesterday. I felt a little more hopeful, I guess, Paul, if that's the word, even knowing how dire it sounded the previous day after listening to Jack and Sam, and mostly Jack, that there are some talented, young, good players on this team who want to be here and who, you know, maybe this is an opportunity, as Jeremy was talking with you, Howard, yesterday, and even Bulldog with Shope, which is maybe an opportunity to kind of reimagine this team a little bit and see what they have going forward, even without Jack or maybe even Sam.
Absolutely. And a guy like Dahlin, who you know, got some confidence, admitted that he got some confidence at the end of the season, you know, because not only did he play better, but they were putting him out against the better players on the other team all the time and just kept doing it. So he got to go out there and experience that, and he got to go out there and make some mistakes and improve his play. So, you know, he seemed rather excited too to, hey, look, I'm ready to get into the off season and I'm ready to get to work right away to make myself a better player. I know what I have to do now. You know, and it's not like he didn't work out in other summers or anything like that. But now he has more of a laser focus on what he has to do to get himself ready to play in the National Hockey League and to be a better player in the National Hockey League.
Paul, before we let you go, I know Ullmark spoke on Monday, but I wanted to bring up something with him because yesterday was pretty much wall-to-wall Eichel. So he is, you know, he clearly is the number one goalie, but he's an unrestricted free agent. Kevin Adams had previously said they definitely want to re-sign him. Did Ullmark say anything about that? Would he want to be here? Would he want to re-sign? Is would he just basically placeholding for UPL? Where's Ullmark's mind at?
Well, and he is a very, I mean, he missed his family immensely. His family stayed in Sweden, and then he had the death of his dad in January, and he was here by himself. And I totally believe him. He wasn't dodging the question. He said, as far as a contract right now, he goes, that's the farthest thing from my mind. He goes, I have one thing on my mind right now, and that's getting out of here, getting to Sweden, and getting to my family. He said, that's all I'm thinking about. And he said, once I get home and spend some time with his young son and his wife, and he said, then we'll sit down. I'll sit down with my agent, and then we'll sit down with the Sabres, and we'll talk. But, there, you know, when he was talking about, you know, Granato and talking about the team, you know, this is the only team he's ever known. He likes this team, you know. He likes the organization, you know. He grew up here, and he did say, if I come back, you know. So it's in the way he was talking, you could tell he has not slammed the door on it, and he's totally open to coming back, and would be great if it did come back. I believe the way he put it. So. But it's just not something that's on his radar right now. He's got plenty of time. Free agency this year doesn't start till July 28th. So there's plenty of time to do it. And the only focus he has right now is to start spending time with his family in Sweden and probably still do some grieving from his dad. And, you know, now that he'll be home and around his family. And he talked about the mental health part of things, you know, that how he was able to get through it, and how the Sabres organization, he was very thankful to them, helped him get through it. And he said if he didn't talk to the players and talk to his goaltending coach Mike Bales and was honest and was able to talk, he goes, I think it would have spelled my doom, is how he put it. Wow. You know, he said I needed that, and those people were there for him. And he was internally grateful, but, you know, he just talked about how important it was for him to be honest with Bales and honest with his teammates, how he felt. And he didn't, it would have been, you know, it would have been bad for him to hold that in. He needed to get that out. And I thought there were some important messages in there just for, you know, for people who also might be struggling, you know, what he went through and how he dealt with it and how he found people that were there for him. And I just think important to listen to him and what he had to say and how he got through things.
All right, Mr. Hamilton, thank you as always, sir. We will talk with you tomorrow morning, and enjoy the Zoom calls today.
Okay, and are you picking the Bills today?
No, I got to wait till the schedule comes out. Come on.
Well, you'll get at least the first game, so.
Don't encourage people like this, Paul. Why do you? See, you're just being a jerk. See, people think you're this nice guy and all that, and you're deep down inside, you're just truly a jerk. And I just don't know why people don't understand that about you.
Or you could pick the Mets.
1-6 straight, Paul. Not the bandwagon you want to be picking on right
now. That's what I said. You could pick the Mets. Yeah, now's right. The time.
Yeah, you're just
don't. Strike while the irons are hot here.
Go draft Tim Tebow for your fantasy team. And a keeper league, too, please. A dynasty league, whatever. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton.
You're welcome.
I love you, Paul.
Bye.
Paul, brought to you by Equitable Advisors Planning.
Here we go. Bills, I have it. Oh, sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, read your sponsor.
Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, relax. We got this.
So it's official now. I'm watching CBS this morning. The week one schedule is being released for CBS itself. The Buffalo Bills will host the Pittsburgh Steelers week one. afternoon game in Buffalo.
And it's got to be a 1 o'clock, right? Because Fox has the 425 game that day.
Correct. Yes.
Sunday at 1 o'clock.
I'm watching. I'm literally watching Nate Burleson with the schedule reveal for week one right now as we're talking.
All right.
On CBS this morning.
So we'll talk about them when we get back. Schedule week one is out. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. And we'll react to the Steelers here for week one. Plus, we're talking to you and getting your thoughts on when the whole schedule is released tonight. What are the first few things you'll be looking at? What are you looking for in the Bills schedule? Grab a line. Join us this morning, WGR. Okay, so Bills and Steelers, week one at home at 1 o'clock. This is new this year, too. So the week one matchups are being announced by the networks, and that has been announced as one of the CBS games. But, Sal, I got a question for you. Beyond, you know, we'll get into what we think about, you know what, we'll do that in the 8 o'clock segment. Here's my question. So Miami is playing New England. Juicy matchup in week one. I'm all in for that. Mm-hmm. Miami's playing New England at 425. Cleveland's playing at Kansas City at 425. But didn't Fox announce that they had a 425 Packers-Saints game, too? That's a lot of 425 games. What's going on? Explain to me.
Well, yeah, you're allowed to have, like, both networks can have that.
Both networks I'm can have national games in the 425 window?
No, I don't know if they're national. I think that's the question, though. Do we know if one is... Yeah,
that confused me.
That's it's a good question. You can have those time slots, but I don't think one of them is probably just not national. It's regional.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah,
but that
I thought the 405 would be the regional. When
you're
they
right.
put a game at 425, whatever. I'm just
you're
guessing.
Right. I think that's usually the case. I don't know.
Hmm.
You know, we'll have to look into that, dig in a little bit more. But you're right. That's a good question. I wanted to get it out there, so I was so excited reading it. So my apologies for stepping on you,
that's
by
right.
the way.
No, Steelers Bills is fine. I think they'll beat Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh's gonna be that good this year, so I don't have a problem with matching up against them in week one.
Do you know that the Steelers have not opened at home since 2014?
Why? Is that something they request?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Go that long.
When people were talking about it last night, someone said, yeah, the Steelers always open on the road. I'm like, oh, let me go back and look. The last home opener they had was 2014. 7 years in a row they'll be on the road to open the season. But, yeah, I mean, this is going to be an interesting matchup to see. It's a rematch of a Sunday night game the last couple of years. You know, again, beautiful weather in Orchard Park, early September. I love it. And then, what are the Steelers right now? I think a lot of questions about the Steelers and what they look like, and that's going to be really interesting to the national audience. Not saying the game is on national TV, but, you know, to the general football watching audience.
All right, we'll get into that a little bit more and some of the other intriguing matchups in week one that have already been announced. And we want to hear from you, too. Phone lines are open, 803-0550. How about this? This is the first time this has happened in the history of our morning show. You get to react to an actual Bills matchup before the official schedule release. Bills, Steelers, Sunday, 1 o'clock in Orchard Park in week one. Give us your thoughts on that. What are some of the other things you'll be looking for when the full schedule is released tonight? More of that coming up in a moment. WGR.